K-64, 10. August 8, 1910. K-64, 10. Sanitarium, California. July 16, 1910. Dear brother and sister Cress, I have received and read your letters. I will say that I have not received light that your connection with the sanitarium at Tacoma Park should be broken. This connection may be a special advantage to you in your missionary work in the cities, and you may also be a help to the health institution in Washington. As the Lord's servant set apart to the gospel ministry, you should be fully qualified to speak the truth, pointing sinners to the great healer of both soul and body. I have had no light that you should wholly disconnect from the sanitarium. But it would not be consistent for you to act as head physician, for your work in the cities will lead to your absence from the institution a large part of the time. Your ministerial labor will not disqualify you for counseling with your brethren regarding the work of the institution, nor for doing the work of a physician in the sanitarium while you are there. You are both to be led and taught of God. If you individually seek Him daily, you will have the Holy Spirit's guidance. I can see that you greatly need divine wisdom to enable you to serve in two positions of responsibility, as a skillful physician and also as a preacher of the gospel. There must be a daily conversion in order to blend successfully the work for body and soul. I cannot tell you in detail just how this should be done, but I know that you can do an important work in the ministry of the Word in instructing the souls for whom you labor to believe in Jesus Christ. Encourage the suffering ones to receive treatment from the great physician for the healing of both body and soul. A sanitarium is a most favorable place in which to set forth convincing truths. I would that all our physicians might have a living connection with the great chief physician, that they might speak wisely to the suffering sick. Those who minister in our sanitariums need to be sanctified, that they may speak words in season, presenting Christ as the healer of sin-sick souls, as well as of afflicted and diseased bodies. Not a poisonous drug should be used. When you have a case that does not respond to the use of simple remedies, take it to the Lord in prayer. Talk to Him as the only one who can help. Quote simple scripture with tenderness and faith. As Christ's chosen physicians, speak His words, sometimes to convince of sin, but always to inspire hope. When laboring for the patients, consider that their sensibilities must be awakened to the fact that Christ came to our world to save perishing souls. I am pained that there are not more decided efforts put forth to win souls to a belief of the truth. I am pained at the indifference manifested in our institutions established for the care of the sick by many who know the truth. Many who come to these institutions are ignorant of the great life and death question, and they need to be enlightened. But among those connected with our sanitariums, there seems to be a lack of earnest seeking after God, that they may speak words that will exert an influence for the truth. This is a work too often left undone in our churches and in our health institutions. Those connected with these institutions should be representatives of Christ. In your labors, you are acting in Christ's stead. The mind must be kept open to receive impressions from Him. If you understand the gospel message, remember that you are accountable if, when you come in contact with those who are unsaved, you do not represent the truth in its saving influence. I am unable to describe to you the impression made upon my mind when I realize that many, even among our brethren who are teachers of the Word, are not daily converted. Christ stands ready to impart wisdom and grace, but those in important positions of responsibility cannot guide others in the right paths unless they are converted daily. If they rely upon their own supposed wisdom, they will mislead others who look to them believing that these ministers understand the sacred work entrusted to them. Those who accept responsible charges need to be on their guard, and by humble prayer to be sanctified, refined, and purified. Unless they sense their true condition, and unless they become Christ-like, they can never reveal the truth as it is in Jesus. In the night seasons, I seem to be addressing large congregations in the words, "Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God." The Lord has a decided work to be done now. We need ministers of the gospel who are true to the knowledge of the truth. Many fables of every character will be brought in as subjects of discussion. We must have good, sanctified, common sense in dealing with human minds. May the Lord sanctify our hearts and minds that we may lay hold upon the important work to be done. I am writing to my brethren most earnestly, for I cannot hold my peace. Night after night I am in agony. There is a world to be warned. The neglect to do work that should have been started in various lines many years ago has made the work much harder to plan for and to execute. May the Lord now give wisdom. If the workers make a complete consecration of soul, mind, and body, much may be accomplished. I have read letters telling of the meetings held in New York City regarding the city work. As you see the magnitude of the work that needs to be done, you can better understand why I have felt so keenly the necessity of having our people arouse that they may sense the situation. May the Lord teach our ministers how to take up the great work that should interest every worker. I have more hope as I see that the situation is being sensed and that our leading brethren seem determined to take hold of the work earnestly. I shall now feel more courage.